Welcome back to the Southwest Virginia Sports Podcast. My name is Ryan Dye. My co-host, as always, is the debonair Brady Hess. How are you doing this morning, sir?
Doing good, man. Another week in the books. A lot going on. Just taking it day by day.
That's about all you can do, right?
That is, man.
Well, it's our second podcast of the week for the first time ever, other than the one time that we had an interview in the same week. So I'm pretty excited about this. Today is our awards show, as well as we'll talk about the games this week, make our picks and stuff. And we have a guest on today's podcast, if you couldn't tell by the title. So I think it should be a good show today. What do you think?
I think it is locked and loaded and should be one of the best.
One of the best. We'll see. If I didn't already have a title in mind, that might be what I would have titled it, because I always like to title it something you say. Let's get right to it. We have a poll every week for you to decide our game of the week. And this week was a runaway. Last week we had some drama late between Ridgeview and Grundy and Graham and Bluefield. This week, 99 votes. 83 of those 99 votes for 84%. Hashtag the game, Union at Richlands. Any surprise there?
Nah, when you have two teams that have ended the game on so many last-second thrills, such as the Union-Richlands series, it absolutely is going to be a game that a lot of folks are interested in, and that is the case this week.
Just so everybody else knows, Graham Tazewell with 5 votes, Narrows Bland with 4 votes, Twin Valley Montcalm with 4, and Galax Radford with 3 votes. So that kind of gives you an idea of just how wide a margin that was. So thank you, everybody, for voting in our poll this week. We'll have a new one. We'll put that up for you. We'll try to do it this weekend. If not, it'll be Monday because we're lazy over the weekend. While that got 99 votes, our offensive player of the week for our first week ever far exceeded that amount.
Yes, it did. What a bizarre ending yesterday with all the last-second voters.
I know. It had been the Sexton versus Moyer race for days, and then out of nowhere, the people of Union called to arms. Something happened over there. And good things happened over there. Avery Jenkins from Union is your Week 1 Coalfield Sports Offensive Player of the Week. 11 carries, 227 yards, a couple touchdowns, and a big win over J.I. Burton.
Yeah, stellar performance by Mr. Jenkins down in Big Stone last week. He's going to have a big task ahead of him this week in Richlands, but definitely after a big performance in Week 1, you know Jenkins and the Bears feel pretty solid about their running game, not only for Week 2, but heading forward all the way to December.
So he got 1,132 votes.
Unbelievable. We really appreciate all the feedback, all the great numbers. Definitely looking forward to doing this for the rest of the season.
Matt Sexton from Ridgeview came in second. He had 429 votes. Race Moyer of Richlands in third with 209. I believe Aaron Rose of Virginia High was fourth. And then Evan Rose, Juice Edwards, Greg Sanchez, and Denver Brown of Fort Chiswell round out the top eight there. And then we have a defensive player of the week. Do you want to announce that one, Brady?
Elijah Sproles from Ridgeview is the inaugural Coalfield Sports defensive player of the week after a pretty solid performance against the Grundy Golden Wave.
Absolutely. He had 314 votes to take that title. Elijah Barner of Mountain View came in second, 58 votes. They came in third. Aaron Crawford of Fort Chiswell came in second. That's who my vote was for, so you can peek behind the curtain as to who I voted for. Although Sproles is a worthy winner himself. Brandon Lester, Twin Valley, I know that's who Brady voted for with his Twin Valley leans. He had a heck of a game all around. And then Sean Martin of Bluefield and Ethan Guerrero are also the other ones up for there. So those are your Week 1 offensive and defensive players of the week. We're going to do this every week. We're going to keep a running tally of it. Our Brady, do you remember, are we trying to, is it just if you win it once, you can't win it again the rest of the year, and you're entered into the Player of the Year discussion at the end?
That is how it works.
All right, so no more Avery Jenkins, no more Elijah Sproles. Congratulations to those two young men. And next week we'll have two brand new winners, and we'll keep having new winners all season until we get to the end of this thing. Let's see here. Also this week, we have a top 10, as we've been doing every week. Huge shout out to Bearcat Dad over on the board. He's on our staff. He's a great guy. He is the one that is tallying up the numbers. And as someone who does the pick 'em on the message board, and that takes hours and hours of my time every week, I can attest to how hard it is to sit and look at a computer screen and tally up numbers. So kudos to him for stepping up in a big way and doing that for us. You want to go top to bottom or bottom to top?
I think we should go bottom to top.
I agree. Why don't you go first?
10th, Radford. Then across the bridge in Pulaski come the Cougars. In 8th spot, the Abingdon Falcons. In 7th, the way too low, Chilhowee Warriors. In 6th, Virginia High. 5th, Richlands. 4th, Graham. 3rd, Union. 2nd, Ridgeview. And 1st, Bluefield.
Not a lot of movement at the top. It's pretty much the way it was last week. I don't remember the exact numbers, but those top five seem to have been the same top five from last week, if I recall correctly. So you mentioned Chilhowee. You think they're criminally underrated in this poll?
I put Chilhowee 2nd in my poll this week.
Woo! Here's my thoughts on Chilhowee. They are the best 1A team around here. And when I do this poll, I give them love. But I also try to sit around and think, you know, Virginia High is number 6. Can Chilhowee beat Virginia High? Now, lucky for us this year, those two play each other. So that will be settled. You know, but for these teams like Richlands and Union, who Chilhowee is not going to play, I try to imagine how those games would go, which is why I don't have Chilhowee in the top 5. And it's nothing against Chilhowee because, like I said, I think they're the best Class A team in this area. So how do you vote it, Brady, then? Like, what do you do?
I mean, they've done everything that they need to do. Last year, they made a state championship appearance. They've played and defeated who they've had to this year in the games that matter. I know we're only one week in. They returned 20 starters. I mean, I just believe that all things considered, they have done what they've had to do to show that they're pretty daggone good. And yet, while Ridgeview was 9-1 last year and has come out dominant in the preseason, as with Union and Graham and Richlands so far, V-High as well, I just think Chilhowee, after the season they had last year, deserves to be 2nd. I mean, yeah, Bluefield won the state title, and then they're dominant this year, and then Chilhowee returns everybody and their cousin back to the Warriors' attack. So, I don't know. I know they don't play many of these teams in the top 10, but I think until you beat the man in Chilhowee, that the Warriors deserve to be in the top 2.
I can get behind that. That's just not how I like to vote things, but different strokes for different folks, I suppose. Outside of Chilhowee, anybody else on this list shock you?
No.
Are there any teams left out that you thought maybe should have been put in over one of those top or those bottom few there?
You know, maybe Glenver. I know they're not big in our coverage area. I mean, Glenver and Central had pretty strong outings last week, and I think that Glenver definitely should be in the top 10.
Glenver's not in our coverage area.
Well, they got votes.
I know, but that's – okay, so to pull the curtain back, Glenver got a vote this week. The IMG Academy in Florida got a vote this week. Modern Day in California got a vote. Colquitt County, Georgia, Allen, Texas, Maryville, Tennessee, Greenville, Tennessee, Salem, Oscar Smith, and Riverheads all technically got a vote that don't really exist. Of the other ones that are actually in our coverage area, You know, any of those that you would put over top of, say, a Radford or a Pulaski?
I think it's pretty solid poll this week. I mean, I'd like to make a case Central will eventually maybe be in there. Maybe the PH Rebels or maybe even Galax. Fort Chiswell looking good.
I really think Fort Chiswell is a dark horse in 2C. I really do. That team has some players. They have three or four really good athletes. We were talking about it in our messaging client this week. And Tazewell's going to play them this year, so I'm excited to see how that one goes. That might be a sneaky game of the week type pick right there. So that's our top 10 for the week. Thank you again to Bearcat Dad for doing that. How about we answer some questions, Brady?
Let's do it.
All right, we'll save that first one for last. Let's start with Bearcat Dad. It's a perfect segue. Which team in Week 2 is in the best shape to come a win with a for-sure win, and which team is going to pull an upset?
I think Abingdon is in the best situation to get a for-sure win this weekend against Gate City. I don't want to say a rivalry game, but a little more drama coming with that game because Darren Reed, their head coach that bailed out of Abingdon about 4 seconds before the regular season started, is now the defensive coordinator at Gate City. But I think Abingdon will come away with a for-sure win. Who you got in a for-sure win?
You took my pick. It might be too easy to pick them, though. That's kind of like taking candy from a baby at this point with how far down Gate City is. I'll go somewhere else with it. I'll go. I guess I can take Bluefield over Princeton as the for sure win. That also feels like stealing candy from a baby. Yeah, I'll go with Bluefield. Bluefield over Princeton's my lock of the week, so to speak. Do you see an upset that you like anywhere through these ranks?
Let's take a look through here. You know, I don't know if it would be an upset. Well, I don't even know what would be considered an upset with these matchups, but I'm going to say Twin Valley over Montcalm because Montcalm defeated them last year, and I'm also going to throw in there perhaps Christiansburg over Giles, if that is considered an upset, which I really still believe that that is considered an upset with the recent lack of performance there in Christiansburg.
Quit taking my picks. I was going to pick Christiansburg over Giles. How dare you? I'll go somewhere else with it, I guess. Let's see. I like Lebanon to beat Lee this week.
I thought that was a solid pick.
And I think people might think that Lee is the favorite there, so I guess technically it's an upset. But I think I like Lebanon this week over top of Lee.
Pretty strong performance in the Cole Bowl. Lee has not shown up, even though they did play a pretty daggone good Tennessee High team.
Bearcat Ed also asked us, how do you guys feel about the fact that Southwest Virginia teams will play 2 August games this year? I said he's watched 2 games last week. All 4 teams had multiple kids go down with cramps. You played football. Do you think the season starts too early when we're playing 2 August games, or is this just the way the calendar falls?
I think it's just the way it goes. I'm looking at my junior schedule right now, and coincidentally, it's the same dates as last year, or as this year. We played at Gate City on August 24th in 2012, and at Union, or not at Union, at home against Union on August 31st. So I just think it's just how the schedule goes, and that was before they added the extra game back in 2012. So I think that it's fine. College football used to start earlier than it has been. I don't know. I mean, I think cramps is just going to be a part of it no matter when it is. I mean, yeah, it's hot and more likely to get cramps when it's hot and dehydrated. But I think it's fine the way it is. I really do. I just do. I think it's fine.
I tend to agree because that means we have more football in the month of August.
Yeah.
And anytime we can play more football earlier, then I'm all for it.
And I remember some of the hottest games I ever played were down in Union in the first week of September. So I don't know if moving back to the first week of September, I mean, yeah, we'll have to see what the cramp situation is like this week. But I'm going to tell you, man, it was hotter than Satan's home down in Big Stone Gap in 2011 when we went down there. So, yeah, it's going to be hot whenever you start playing at the end of August and the start of September.
Six Cat says, thoughts on Mark Dixon completely changing the Galax's offensive philosophy in favor of a run-pass option, heavy spread attack. He's seeing the word spread and Giles does not mix. Or, sorry, Galax does not mix.
Mark Dixon's a smart man. I'm not ever going to question him. So let's see how it works, and I probably will think that it will work well.
I agree. We're obviously from Richlands, and you're kind of taught the spread at a young age here. So I'm always going to bang the drum for spread offenses. But it does seem weird. It's almost like, I know this, I don't know, I'm sure this might happen someday, but could you imagine if Giles lined up five wide?
No.
I just want you to picture Giles five wide in a hurry-up offense.
The red bandana is slinging it around. Maybe they just throw a better pass than when they just heave it up in the air and pray about it.
The crazy thing is that the heave and pray works.
Yeah, it does. Won a state championship for them.
I'm with you, though. I could trust Mark Dixon with everything completely. He's gonna do what makes that team better and what makes that team click and what he can to make sure that they can come out of the region, come out of the state semifinals, whatever it may be, to try to get to Salem this year. Goose, 11-18-74. If it rains during Union Richlands, who will it affect the most, the Richlands passing game or Union's speed out of the backfield with Jenkins and Stidham?
I definitely think the passing game, because it doesn't matter if it's Richlands, Union, the New England Patriots, or the Baltimore Colts. If it's raining and you're passing the ball, you're going to get a little affected, and speed kills. And if you're going to run the ball and have a speedy attack, you're going to get the edge. But it's going to be a fun contest tomorrow, but definitely whoever's spreading the ball, throwing it around, is definitely going to have the disadvantage if it's pouring the rain as anybody who's going to run the football.
So, I don't know. Sometimes I like to think that when you're passing the ball, yes, it's the ball is slicker for the receivers to catch, but when you're passing the ball, you're not down there in the middle of piles. And I'm always afraid of piles in the rain. So for Union, who's going to try to run the ball a lot if it rains, does that not open it up more to try to strip the ball when you get, when you're getting tackled by five people, weird things happen, and especially in the rain? Would that not be the case? You played football, I didn't, so.
I mean, I think that's absolutely a good argument, but I just think that, I don't know, I just think that if you have the ball and you have a stout little arm there to hold the rock, I think that 9 times out of 10, it's going to be more, you're more likely going to pick up yards that way. Yeah, there is a chance to turn the football over, but I'd like to take my chances knowing that I'm at least going to pick up something than just going four and out because Butterfingers can't catch the ball in 2012 at Pulaski, even though that's not a rain game. But some will get the reference.
Chip and Bogey says, the poll thread saga, which is what we talked about with all those weird teams getting votes because people don't understand the coverage area. The poll thread saw got me thinking, hypothetically, if Bluefield played Greenville, Tennessee, what would that game look like in our mind?
That's all for you, brother.
Well, I haven't seen Greenville in person yet. I might go see them next week. It's on the very short list of games that I'm going to go to next week. I've seen the film. Greenville is really good, and I like to think that Bluefield is also really good. I don't know. I think I might give the slight edge to Greenville, actually, even with how dominant Bluefield is in our area. Greenville is playing teams so much bigger than they are. Greenville's going to play Science Hill coming up soon. That's a 6A versus a 4A in Tennessee. And Greenville's going to win that game. So Greenville's just too good to me. So I would pick Greenville in that sort of matchup. He also says, are there any dream matchups for fans that you can think of that we may never see or that we would have to wait a really long time to see?
my dream matchup for years, and this probably foregoes the stipulations, but I think that Richlands and Ridgeview should play every daggone year, because that'd be a heck of a gate, good football, packed house. That's my dream quote-unquote matchup for right now, just because I think it'd be awesome for everyone involved.
I agree. And it's not going to happen anytime soon. We already know the Richland schedule for next year, which teams are dropped and which teams have been picked up, and Ridgeview is not one of those teams. I would love to see that matchup myself. I think that'd be amazing. As far as any other ones like that, I mean, I would like to see what Bluefield could do against an Appomattox.
Yeah, I mean, that'd be a pretty solid little matchup.
I think that's strength on strength in a lot of cases there. They're both the same kind of team, so I think I would go Bluefield-Appomattox as my dream matchup.
Nice.
Optimal 82. What is the future outlook for Carroll County now that Turner has taken over the head coach responsibilities?
I think it's definitely brighter. Got the win against Patrick County. I know you can only gauge so much with that. But Turner, I think, is definitely a better look at Carroll County than what has been there in years past. Turner knows some stuff from Pulaski. And I think that Carroll County definitely is trending upward, can't really trend down. So they're going up.
I think it might have been Six Cat on the board that had mentioned how the problem there is that the county is so big and transportation can become an issue. You're getting kids out, you know, that maybe, you know, they don't live right there in Hillsville, you know, that live in other parts of the county. Getting those kids out, you know, whenever you're having to stay late for lifting, you know, and you're getting home late, somebody's about to come pick you up if you can't drive, or getting to school early to get a lift session in before school or something like that. I think that's going to be his big key. Is he's going to have to figure out how to get kids into the program. Because with a school that size, you should have plenty of numbers. And we know that they don't have great numbers. So I think his first thing he should be wanting to do is figure out a way to go recruit those hallways and get some more kids back into the program.
And then the one thing to mention about that is everybody talks about the consolidation of Buchanan County and the consolidation of Tazewell County, whenever that may be. That's going to be a problem that you run into is when is what the Carroll's facing right now. You're going to have this huge school out here in the midst of 2A and 1A schools that would potentially be a 4 or 3A schools. I'm not looking at the numbers, so don't crucify me when you listen to this. But you got to think, if a school is on wherever they held the fair in Buchanan County, I'm drawing a blank bad. Geez, Louise. I seen Charlie Daniels play a little show there. But anyway,
Poplar Gap Park.
Let's just say there, I mean, how are you going to get the kids to participate from Council, from Whitewood? I mean, that's a long bus ride. That's a long ride to 2-a-days. And if you're in Tazewell County, let's hypothetically say you put a school in Clifffield. That's going to be a haul for kids from Bluefield, or kids from Jewel Ridge, or kids from Red Ash, or Abbs Valley. The mayor of Falls Mills, he's worried about his young kids over there. So so we'll see how it transpires, but that's just definitely something when I hear consolidation of Buchanan and consolidation of Tazewell, something that I think of. Yes, it worked out in Dickinson County because Ridgeview has less numbers than Richlands High School as a whole, and Richlands is one of three in a county. So just something to think about when you're having these fun talks about consolidation, when and if it will happen.
You would be, you know, committing athletic suicide to consolidate Tazewell County. You put those three schools together. I believe UVA Observer had told me that it would be a fringe 5A school.
And look at Franklin County. There's another example. They're 5A. I think they're 6A, and they go out and get walloped by Oscar Smith in the playoffs.
Right. So, I mean, sure, you know, from the financials, you know, all that stuff aside, if you're looking at it just from a sports perspective, it is athletic suicide to be a 5A in the land of the 1 and 2As. No one is going to want to play you. Can you imagine, you know, Tazewell County High School trying to schedule 10 games having to look around and go, well, we play Grundy.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like, it's just, I don't know. I am on the podium that says the consolidation won't happen for a long time. The numbers are going to have to drop drastically before they would consolidate into one high school. And one more question for us this morning. UVA Observer, who would give Bluefield the best game out of the remaining teams in Southwest Virginia?
Well, I mean, I definitely think it'd probably either be a Ridgeview, a Union, a Richlands, or a Abingdon, or Virginia High.
I don't know who would give them the best game.
I'll tell you who I think would give them the best game, but they're not in the coverage area. I think the Bruins would give them a good game.
Yeah. Yeah, because with their speed, they can match Bluefield's speed, you know, tick for tack. Well, I mean, we're going to see Richlands play them here in about 5 weeks, so we'll get to see how that goes. I don't have high hopes for that game. I don't know that Union is built to run with Bluefield. I know they have Jenkins, which is a very, very, very fast kid, but that's one, and Bluefield has about seven. So I don't know that they could run with Bluefield. And Bluefield's lines are big enough that I think they could, you know, be able to stop Union from time to time with their, if they would, you know, retreat and go to the tee. So I don't know. I honestly don't think there's a team in the coverage area that could beat Bluefield, if we're going to be honest about it.
I think you are right.
All right, so that was our Q&A this week. Thank you for everybody that asked us questions. Keep those coming. Now, we're going to bring a guest on the podcast. Brady had an interview this week. Why don't you tell us who you interviewed, Brady?
Sit down with former Garden Green Dragon quarterback, former Council Cobra 2001 state champion, and former Council basketball coach, now a basketball coach at Richlands High School, Patrick Wade, to sit down and share the insights of football and just all things Southwest Virginia. And I really hope I know what the title of the podcast is. If it's a P. Wade quote, I think I know what it is. And, man, it was a lot of fun to talk to him. He's been all over the place throughout this region coaching. He played at Garden and Council, like I said, coached a little bit at Lee, at Council, Twin Valley, now at Richlands. So he's been all over the place, and it was always cool to sit down and talk with our good buddy P. Wade about sports in Southwest Virginia, about last week's games, about this week's games, and even a little bit about Trevor Pilkins and the Oakwood Diner.
That's a perfect intro. I've listened to this interview. It is amazing. There are a few amazing impressions towards the end of it that if you know who he's impersonating, you will die. I died laughing at WCYB last night. I'm glad no one was there to witness me hee-hawing at 2 a.m. So without further ado, here is Brady Hess interviewing Patrick Wade.
We got legendary former Garden Green Dragon quarterback, state champion at Council, legend of Southwest Virginia, Patrick Wade joins the Southwest Virginia podcast. P. Wade, thanks for joining me, brother. Hey,
glad to be here. Long-time listener, first-time caller.
Absolutely, always a supporter of the show. So it's football season, as everyone knows, and a lot of good things going on. The Blues pull out a win. P. Wade now at Richlands after a lot of stops on the Southwest Virginia turn. And one thing that I want to ask just before we get into week one's games and what's coming up in week two is, you know, I wrote that article a couple of weeks ago just about how special Southwest Virginia football is, but just Southwest Virginia sports in general, and somebody who, you know, played at a couple different schools and then has coached at a few different schools, a handful of schools. I know we talked about that last week when we ran into each other at Gate City. Just what is your firsthand experience, you know, just with the culture that is athletics in Southwest Virginia?
And I've been to a tent revival in the Buchanan County Fair, and you've never seen anything like Thursday, Friday, or Saturday night in Southwest Virginia.
That's true, and I mean, that's something I've always thought about, and it's really a special thing. So, you know, we talk about week one The game that you and I were both at, Richlands and Gate City. Richlands runs away with that. Gate City, not the Gate City of old. And then we have a lot of other good games in week one. You know, one everybody wants to talk about is Grand Beaver. And then just someone that comes to mind because it was close and close to us is the Cole Bowl. Just what stuck out to you just week one?
Yeah, I think everybody's just glad to be back, trying to stay healthy. You know, early on, I think it's Bluefield's world right now. Everybody else is just kind of living in it. And, you know, the Cole Bowl, rivalry games, you always got to kind of throw it out. We've got the rivalry games coming up here at Southwest District and Tazewell and Graham this week. And Union and Richlands, the game. You know, sometimes those rivalry games, you just throw out records. You just go at each other, kind of like the backyard brawl, Richlands and Tazewell in the past, I'm told.
Yeah, and we talk about some rivalries, and, you know, I don't really think this is much of one, but two programs you've probably had familiarity with just playing against and coaching against, and one that I actually caught a lot of flack for this past week with Grundy and Ridgeview. Just what can you tell us about those folks?
Man, everybody's drinking the Kool-Aid on Ridgeview, you know. I think they're loaded. I heard the term on paper, and they did it on the field week one, so you got to tip your cap to them, but that Mountain 7's tough. It's a gauntlet. Grundy's playing, you know, single A. They're going to be pretty formidable because I'll give Coach Plimel credit. He came up with Jack Compton, Greg Rose, some first ballot Hall of Famers, and it's his time, and he's done a great job. And he strapped Ridgeview on week one, and he's the AD, so he signed, sealed, and delivered to play him. So tip of the hat to Coach Plimel. Hopefully, if he got out of there healthy, it'll help him on down the line because he probably will not see many backfields like Ridgeview.
Let's stay in Buchanan County. I mean, you talked about just before we started recording here, Jeremy Ward, the Panthers, they pick up their 50th win in school history, 1-0, big win down in Jenkins. They got Montcalm this week, which was one of the finalists for the game of the week in the ColdfieldSports.com poll. Just the Panthers get a big win, and they very well could have, or could, this upcoming week.
Absolutely. Coach Ward, he's fighting a war of attrition down there. He's doing a good job. Fighting the numbers game, you got to stay healthy, got to get creative with it. Montcalm, side note, I was actually involved in a game. Brian Moore, I think, tied the state record for flags. I think Alta Vista, Hayside, there towards the end when Hayside made that last state run. Brian Moore was flagged about three cornfields. The guy was throwing his hat. He was looking for, he's out of laundry. I think his jersey was next. So, you know, up there at that press box, they've got it leveled off with a bulldozer. Brian Moore said something, and it didn't translate into West Virginia well. So he hit the showers early that night.
Hey, speaking of Brian Moore, you know him and Krieger and Greg Tester got that show over there in Buchanan County before the Lloyd Combs show, man. I mean, where's the love for P-Wade on there?
There's a little bit of love on there. You know, I worked for Coach Moore for 4 years, worked for Coach Krieger. Two good friends of mine, nothing but respect for Coach Tester and the job he did at Hurley. Those guys, they did a good job. They're trying to get on your all's level. But, you know, it was funny, entertaining, and a lot of shameless plugs and a lot of pizza, you know.
Hey, you can never go wrong with the pizza or some shameless plugs. I know I'm guilty as charged. So let's look to week two here. You know, we've got some stuff wrote down here in front of us and a lot of good contests. One that I'm going to be right across the parking lot from this Friday is going to be that Princeton and Bluefield matchup because Appalachian League's semifinals go down 5:30 first pitch, Bowen Field, Bluefield Blue Jays, and the Princeton Rays. But you know what we've seen out of Bluefield last week? The Beavers look locked and loaded, and I don't think those guys are going to miss a beat.
Yeah, Bluefield, you know, I think they're better than they were last year, which was it's hard to believe. You know, they got trucks Truck's younger brother, what is it, SUV or a Porsche or what? I know they've got road graders for a line. That line is ridiculous, and the Blues have got them on down the line. And, you know, Graham's one of the best teams in the area, and, you know, Bluefield laid it on Graham, and no shame in their game, and laid it on Giles. And you don't see that very often that Graham and Giles wear one. So, you know, Bluefield must be the real deal.
Well, let's stay right there. I mean, we mentioned Giles and we mentioned Graham. Let's talk Graham real quick. They got the Bulldogs this weekend at Bulldog Stadium. Tazewell, you know, hung around with Virginia High after a first half, and it looked like the Bearcats could just prance back to Bristol. Tazewell comes back in that second half and has everybody, everybody's butt cheeks clenching the seats. So, I mean, what can we expect between these two district rivals?
And speed kills. You know, I think Cam Allen's probably one of the best best athletes in the area. Three-sport athlete, you know, D1 recruit. Be a good game, a rivalry game. You know, tensions will be high. It'll be contentious, to say the least, up there at Bulldog Field with Tazewell. You know, they're on the come up, Tazewell. I do a little bit with middle school basketball, and they've got some of the best athletes coming. But Coach Palmer and Coach Palmer, they do a good job up there. It's a good gift for Coach Palmer, getting Coach Snake Palmer up there. So, you know, Graham, it's Ric Flair said it best, Brady. He said, to be the man, you got to beat the man. And it happened. Graham beat us last year for the Southwest District. And, you know, we're on the comeback, and Tazewell's on the come up, and they're not apologetic about it. They got some skill.
Yeah, they absolutely do. And, you know, just Chancellor Harris and then JoJo Jordan, Josiah Jordan, he looked pretty good last week. And we talked about some rarities there. Moving on just to the next game is Giles has got Christiansburg this week. Giles wore another one against the Blacksburg Bruins last week. And Christiansburg escaped with a overtime win over Floyd. So this week might be a chance for the Giles Spartans, who were low in numbers this year, to get in the win column. But Rarity and Giles, we talked about, they get smacked by the Beavers and they get smacked by the Bruins.
You know, Gillis County, we've got Giles' greatest export and William Gregory Mance down here in Richlands. Great hire for us. You like I said, the single wing, you know, they're going to play keep away. You don't see it often, but, you know, I think Christiansburg has got them. And, you know, careful what you wish for. You just may get it. I know a lot of people probably have took some tail whippings. I know I can remember some of my buddies at Twin Valley the inaugural year in the 2001 season. They strapped on Giles, and we ran out of quarterbacks, ran out of ambulances, I think. It was rough.
I was also one of those who took a tail whipping from the Giles Spartans. Ended my football days right here in 2013, 49-14, tail kicking in the quarterfinal round. But looking at another few games here to note, Honeaker goes to Castlewood. Honeaker escaped the Cold Bowl with a win. Could they go for the Russell County Championship this week?
You know, it's Ryan Potts down there in Russell County and John Boyd. They've got the Cold Bowl. Coach Hubbard does a good job. You know, I think they're fighting the numbers game a little bit, and it's always a good game. Castlewood, talent comes in cycle, but you know, like I said, you throw those out. I think that Castlewood got them last year, which is, you know, a rarity. But, you know, I have to give the nod to Honeaker, no disrespect to Castlewood. I just think that, you know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. Heath Miller's not down there this year, thank God. I think I'm still recovering from him knocking me under a fence and Neil Sample trucking me there. He ended my football career with a 56-7 housing. I did manage to sneak one in on their third-string JV there with about 30 seconds left before we got off. That was pre-turf. That's how old that was, Brady.
Pre-turf indeed. I remember going to the first game at Fuller Field with the turf against the Blues here. Let's talk one more, then we'll talk about the one that is near and dear to our heart. Just for the hype that's around the team, especially with their posse that gets on the line and votes and votes and votes, let's talk Shelby Valley and Ridgeview, the two-headed monster in the Ridgeview backfield with Sexton, and then you have Adkins. Man, Ridgeview, like we talked about on paper, they look good, and I don't think personally that Shelby Valley is going to even be a road bump.
I'm with you. You know, they say Virginia is for lovers, so Shelby Valley beat my Council Cobras, cheated us out of a game 2001, the only game the 2001 Cobras lost, so no love lost for Shelby Valley. Shout out to Havoc. I know he is mixing that Kool-Aid down there in Dickinson County. He's driving the truck, but, you know, Ridgeview, man. If some is good, more is better. So if you got one running back, you know, it ain't rocky science. You know, they can flirt with some James Colley top scores down there this week. I hope they got the scoreboard, the lights checked.
Let's talk about reunion at Richlands, as you referred to it earlier, as the game. I played in three of those, got my heart broken one. Very, very close games. I don't think you can get much closer in the series than these have. Just before we talk about this year's game, just since you've been at Richlands and around the program here at Richlands, just what has your experience with this Union Richlands matchup been like?
Oh, it's unreal. You know, I'm getting older. I know Coach Bostic, Corey Bostic, played against him his years down at Hayside, one of the best athletes I've ever been around, and Jay Edwards, some of those guys from Hayside, matriculated down the Powell Valley Way. Got grandfathered in when Big Stone went, when Phil Daddy Robbins went out, and it's just unreal. I can still remember vividly working the chain gang, seeing Scotty Ball catch that comeback. So that was great. And then conversely, last year, you know, James Mitchell, punt, took it to the house, playmaker. He's filling in for Bucky Hodges in the red zone, so, you know, speaks to what that guy does. And unfortunately, Coach Turner's son got hurt. Mitchell came in and made a play. We had him dead to rights and had Union on the ropes, and it was just one of those Union Richlands games. Don't leave early, folks, because, you know, you better get one of those James McVay hot dogs you're talking about and come see the Lions Club, because get your popcorn ready. Anything can happen. I think it should be another good game. I think Union got hit hard by graduation, had a great season, and, you know, let's set the record straight here. We're at Mount Olympus in Richlands, coming to you live from the house Greg Mansfield. The Blues aren't going to apologize to anybody. Now, you know, shout out to Coach Turner for that was the worst eight seed. I would not want to play that eight seed in the playoffs last year. And I think that the Blues are putting in the work. And, you know, I got to go with the Blues this week. No disrespect to anybody. But I just think that if some is good, more is better. And you know, I think Coach Mance has had one losing season in 20 years.
I think so, one or two at most.
And, you know, speaking of Union, last year riding the Richlands trail to the games, I think I saw more D1s on that schedule last year than I saw in my entire life. So, you know, paper champions, that record was misleading. You got Blacksburg, you've got Bluefield, toughest schedule in Southwest Virginia. Could not get a tougher schedule if you wanted to. That doesn't compare to our old schedules there at Garden when we tied the record where we went to six homecomings, ours and everybody else's. So, you know, it won't be homecoming. It'll be the game. Get here early. Should be loads of excitement. Union does a great job. Watch them in a couple of scrimmages. And, man, it's just going to be a hat on a hat. Coach Turner, he likes that LPD. Shout out to paying homage to his dad, Tom Turner, down there at Appalachia, where it doesn't matter if they're 0-10. 10-0, somebody's going to knock your jock off. And, you know, Union, they're going to bring it. And, you know, I just think that Mountain 7, you got Ridgeview, you got Union, you got Abingdon, three pretty good teams right there. So I think week two, I think everybody got out. I didn't see anybody wasn't healthy. And it should be a great game.
Should be a great game indeed. So, like he mentioned, get your popcorn ready, get your hot dog from James McVay, and be – locked in right here at Ernie Hicks Stadium for the battle between Union and the Blues here on Friday night. One more thing, and we'll let you get out of here. We appreciate your time, but we talked a lot of Garden Green Dragons. I need your best Garden Green Dragons story that you got from the former QB.
Oh, man, I think we blacked some of those out, or that was pre-concussions. They didn't have CTE then. They just got your bell rang. Roger Reif, man, a legend, one of the winningest coaches. I think he went everywhere in Buchanan County but Council. And, you know, we had about three plays somewhere in Alabama. Britt Coleman's ribs are probably still hurting him. We had about three plays, and I know it was always fun for me trying to get Coach Reif some of his motivational speech, kind of being around Coach Mance and the coaching staff here at Richlands. You know, I've got somewhere along the line, the good Lord shined down on me. I've been able to work with some first ballot Hall of Famers and get some rub. You know, Roger, he used to have a chew a red man, his coffee black, and a Camel unfiltered. And at halftime, you know, his speech was, really enjoy there, Patrick. You got to have heart there. You know, I think probably my favorite Roger story is as a sophomore, I didn't get much burn except on the special teams, and we had Coach Edgar Childress was in the box, and Coach Curtis Shortridge was on the headset. And unfortunately, both those guys have passed away. Rest in peace, great guys, funny guys. So you know, we're lined up, and Roger's got me right next to him, and I'm thinking I'm going in, but I think it's actually Operation Human Shield. So if the play starts going that way, Roger matriculates me out towards the play, and we're standing there, and everybody's hyped up, and, you know, Coach comes down on the headset to Coach George, and they're lined up. You know, you've got 11 across, and the kicker's getting ready to kick it. We've got, you know, 5, 4, and 2 getting ready to return it, and Coach Edgar Childers comes on the headset and says, Coach George, they're getting ready to kick off. You know, Coach George gets it on the headset, bangs it up, and says, you know, Coach Ralph, they're getting ready to kick off. And Roger turns around. It's always a pain for him to talk. He says, really enjoy there, Kurt. No crap. So, you know, it was always eventful with Roger. Trevor Pilkins, I think the statute of limitations came on that. That's an alias. Somebody once ran up a bill with a now-defunct Oakwood Diner. I think I can say that. I think they went out of business. Coach Reif, we were in two-a-days, and Coach Reif told us that we could eat at the Oakwood Diner. And I think somebody gave us some levity. Won't name any names, but the alias, when the bill got kind of up because we were going for breakfast, lunch, and dinner during two-a-days, they said, boys, this bill's getting a little outstanding. Who do we need to charge this bill to? And they said, oh, charge it to Roger Reif. And this lady says, Coach Reif, know about this? What is this name? So we're all getting kind of worried, and player that should be named Menchless says, my name is Trevor Pilkins. So Roger pays the bill. It's upwards of $1,000, all 20 of us eating well down there in Oakwood Diner. And we get to practice, and, you know, we're playing that Buchanan County, other side of Shorts Gap, Ironman football, baby, all 20 of us. You know, there was no breaks. Everybody had their reps, and Roger runs our jocks in the dirt, chased the rabbit. We ran probably about 5 miles, people puking at the end of it. You know, nobody really knew what was going on, so people were hearing colors and speaking to spirits, and Coach Reif comes up and draws some wisdom. He says,
Brandon, I want to know who the hell Trevor Pilkins is.
So we never told Trevor Pilkins, and Coach Reif fed us well. He's still down there politicking in Buchanan County. Great guy. Good memories. Had that run there in 2000 with the seniors and got Region D runner-up, ran into a buzzsaw from Pound, and got our boys, Cheyenne Osborne, down there in Rock Cove, had a miracle, Jamie Hill and Jason Dale. So it's always a good time with Coach Reif.
Absolutely. Well, Patrick, we appreciate you coming on the podcast, and we hope we can do this again sometime soon, brother.
Great. Enjoyed it. Thanks for having me.
Not a problem. You've heard it here with the man, the myth, P. Wade.
All right, so there you have it. Brady's interview with P. Wade, Patrick Wade. His interview with Coach Reif, or his impression of Coach Reif, sorry. Side-splitting to me, especially if you know how Coach Reif sounds. What did you take away from the interview, Brady?
I thought it was really interesting stuff. I really liked the line, I've been to a tent revival at the Buchanan County Fair, and nothing beats a Thursday, Friday, or Saturday in Southwest Virginia. That was my favorite part of the whole interview, and it was the first thing. But we talked a lot, and we got to get him back on in basketball because I want to hear these basketball stories. I want to hear about that 01 Cobras team that Shelby Valley cheated, according to P. Wade. So it was cool. He's definitely got a lot of realm. He's got a lot of perspective around the area. So it was a lot of fun to sit down with our good buddy, and I'm hoping we can do it again sometime really soon.
I really wanted the Tent Talk thing to be the title of this podcast, but it's a little bit too long, I think. So that's going to be a hidden gem for those who listen to it. They're going to hear that quote, and they're going to love that. I thought it was a really good interview with somebody who, like you said, has just kind of been around the block a time or two.
A rambling man.
Absolutely. He's a great follow on Twitter. He's just hilarious in his tweets, even if he does think Michael Jordan's better than LeBron, which he and I go back and forth on all the time. But yeah, great interview with P. Wade. We'll make sure we're going to have him back on again in the future, probably for a longer interview than what that one right there was. But I think it's time to do what everybody came here for, Brady. It's time to pick some football games.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. For those inquiring minds who would like to know how we did last week.
Yeah, let's see how the three experts did in the guest poll.
The Coalfield Sports picks that you, myself, and our guest last week, Eugene Hilton, did. Let's see here. Eugene picked Tazewell. So already 0-1 for the guest spot this year. Brady, you didn't pick the game, and I picked Virginia High. Now, Ridgeview at Grundy, I believe we all took Ridgeview. Yep. Chilhowee at Marion, I took Chilhowee. Eugene also took Chilhowee, and you said you... I am not going to pick against Chilhowee this season. So, there's that. The Cole Bowl, I took Holnaker. Eugene took Holnaker. And Brady, you took Holnaker. So, we all nailed that one. And in the game of the week, I took Bluefield by 17. Look at me go. Eugene took Graham. And Brady, you took Bluefield. So I went 5-0. Brady went 4-0 because he didn't pick the Virginia High Tazewell game. And then Eugene for the guest spot 3-2 in week one.
Them daggone guests.
So yeah, so we'll keep doing that all year. We'll keep doing the guest picks for those five game of the week contenders. But as for the games this week that you and I will pick, we're going to pick the full slate, as we always do. Let's start with a game that you've already talked about as a lock, Gate City at Abingdon.
Abingdon spreads the wings and takes the pitchfork and throws it back to Gate City.
I'm more interested to see, I want somebody to tell me the yardage discrepancy at halftime. Because this one will not be close. It'll be a repeat of last week for Gate City. And unfortunately for them and their fans, I don't know that they'll have many games this year where they'll, you know, where they're not going to struggle in the first half. Princeton at Bluefield.
Beavers, damn the Tigers.
Look at you. I picked Bluefield as my lock of the week, so of course I'm going to take them. Here's a sneaky good game. Fort Chiswell at George Wythe.
Fort Chiswell wins by 3 scores.
By 3 scores, you think?
Yes.
You are so off the George Wythe bandwagon this year. It's 2 weeks in a row you haven't picked the Maroons.
Which is code for George Wythe will win the football game.
I'm also going to take Fort Chiswell. Christiansburg at Giles.
Giles wins by 2 points.
I also took Giles, but like we both mentioned, this could be an upset-type game. But until you got to be the man, you got to beat the man. So for Christiansburg, good win last week over a Floyd team. Now we'll see what you can do at Giles. Galax at Radford. This, I think, is going to be a great game.
Galax drowns the Bobcats.
Galax drowns the Bobcats. That would almost be a pretty good a podcast title for this week. Who did I pick in this game, Brady?
I don't know.
I don't either. Who did I pick? Where are my picks?
But you better figure it out.
I'm all over the place today. I'm sleepy. There I am. I picked Galax. That's what I thought I picked.
Galax.
I picked Galax. Let's see here. John Battle at Virginia High.
Aaron Rose breaks the 200-yard mark, and the Cats claw the Trojans.
I'm also going to take Virginia High on this one. Just way too much on offense for Battle to handle. Lebanon at Lee.
Lee defeats Lebanon.
I took the Pioneers.
Oh.
Put my money where my mouth is. I think Lebanon beats Lee. I think it might be one of the few wins Lebanon gets this year, but I do think they beat Lee tomorrow night or tonight if you're listening on a Friday. Shelby Valley, Kentucky at Ridgeview.
The Pack got a duo that can run from Rose Ridge to Nora and back in 4 seconds. That's physically impossible, but the Pack wins. And hopefully nobody is comparing Shelby Valley to toilet paper except for P. Wade.
How did you know where Shelby Valley is?
I don't even have a clue where Shelby Valley is.
Oh, you said Nora. I thought that might be where that's at.
Nora is where the Irvington Rebels used to run wild.
Oh, shows how much I know. Carroll, I also picked Ridgeview on that game. Carroll County at Grayson County.
Blue Devils spear the Cavaliers.
I also like Grayson County in this game. A good win last week by Carroll, but not happening 2 weeks in a row. One of our Game of the Week nominees, Graham at Tazewell.
There's a lot of hate in this game, man. There is a lot of hate in this game. I working in Bluefield all summer, Graham does not like Tazewell. Tazewell does not like Graham. And, you know, it's kind of just funny to watch being in the county and knowing people from Tazewell and from Graham and just seeing some good old-fashioned hate. I think Graham's going to win. I think the Tazewell student section tweeted this week that they're going to do a homeless theme because Graham doesn't have a home, and they're referring to the Mitchell Stadium debacle that took place over the summer. So it's definitely going to be it's definitely the definition of a rivalry game, Graham versus Tazewell. I'm taking the G-men in what should be a very eventful night at Bulldog Stadium.
That tweet was taken down, by the way. They're now, it's no longer homeless night. It's now blackout night, for what that's worth. But yes, P-Way sent us that tweet, actually, and it blew my mind a little bit that was actually tweeted out. So, yeah, I'm going to take Graham as well. And this could be a decently close game, you know, for a while, and then eventually Graham's depth is going to take over. But I don't look for the Bulldogs to lay down at all.
Yeah, I'm telling you that with this Tazewell team, that Josiah Jordan and Chancellor Harris, those are two names that you need to know here in Southwest Virginia for the next few years.
Marion at Northwood.
I think I'm going to stay in the Southwest District and go with Marion.
No love for Coach Duble.
I love Coach Duble, man.
I'm also going to take Marion. Side note, I'll be in Saltville on Monday. for what it's worth. Narrows at Bland.
The Green Wave trounced the Grizzly Bears.
This is the battle for Wolf Creek, which is I like to say it's the battle for a golf course because there's a golf course called Wolf Creek. I know it's not that, but I'm going to call it that anyways. I'm going to take Narrows as well. I think Bland will make the playoffs, but I just think Narrows is a little bit too good this year for Bland. Hurley at East Montgomery.
Hurley makes a long bus trip to Shawsville to put a whooping on East Montgomery.
Is this the longest trip, like, in the area? It has to be, doesn't it?
Twin Valley goes to Craig County, or Craig County goes to Twin Valley this year, one of the two.
That's a long one, too. I mean, how if you're Hurley, how do you go, well, let's schedule East Montgomery?
It's one of those things where you're looking for games and the size of the school, and these are two relatively small schools, and they probably needed a game.
That's just crazy. I also took Hurley as well. Grundy against Riverview this week as they continue their view schedule.
Mount View put a whooping on Riverview, so I'm going to go with the Wave to get their first win in Bradshaw.
Give me Pfizer with 250-plus yards. Might be player of the week this week in our poll. Grundy, obviously. Holnaker at Castlewood. Holnaker can wrap up the Russell County Championship Friday night with a win over Castlewood. Are you taking Holnaker?
Give me Doug Hubb and the boys. Trevor Dye will get on the ground, and Levi Miller, pretty impressive against the Pioneers last week. They got the coal, and they're going to take the pitchfork back to Fuller Field with them this week.
Absolutely agree. Holnaker, this could be a 2 or 3 score game, I think. We mentioned Twin Valley Montcalm earlier. Montcalm at Twin Valley. Who you got over there? I have a good feeling I know who it is.
I got the Panthers in their 51st win in school history. Jeremy Ward and the crew starts 2-0. Let me tell you, Brandon Lester, you cannot mark him up any better than what he did last week. Tyler Keene had a great game as well. He ran for over 100 yards.
Oh, whoa.
He ran for over 100 yards from quarterback, threw for a 42-yard touchdown. Then we know what Lester did. He ran for 139 on the ground with 3 touchdowns, and he had 8 tackles on defense. Panthers beat the Generals at Pilgrim's Knob.
I agree 100% wholeheartedly. Another one that was one of our Game of the Week things, J.I. Burton at Chilhowee in a rematch of last year's Region 1D Finals.
I put it in my picks last week. I'm not picking against the Warriors. Chilhowee and their famous alum, Ricky Bear Dog Blevins, go to 2-0.
Chilhowee has the WCYB Player of the Week last week, by the way, and in Mr. Sanchez. I am with you. I am not going to pick against Chilhowee, except for maybe one game this year. We'll see. Give me the Warriors over there with the TP. Patrick Henry at Ride Cove.
Rebels yell loud in Scott County on Friday night.
You know, I was talking to one in stripes, and he feels like magic could be in the air. I'm not going to follow one in stripes. Give me Patrick Henry. Not so fast, my friend, moment. Twin Springs at Holston.
Holston with a big win last week over Eastmont. Pretty sizable victory, and I think I got them against Twin Springs.
I also took Holston. Was very surprised by the win last week. Twin Springs has historically not been the greatest school over the last little bit. Give me the wife's alma mater. I'll take Holston in this one. Thomas Walker at Harlan Independent, Kentucky.
All I know about Harlan is that there has been a lot of hell raised there over the years. But Thomas Walker, give me the boys from the Commonwealth, even though they are 0-1.
So are you telling me that Thomas Walker will leave Harlan alive?
I hope so for their sake.
Give me Thomas Walker as well. I had to put that reference in there. Which only leaves one game, hashtag the game. Union comes to Richlands in the 9th all-time meeting. Between the two, Union holds the 5-3 advantage. These 8 games have been decided by a total of, I believe, 27 total points. And up in, there's only one game that's been decided by more than 6 points. So this is truly one of the best rivalries in this area. I don't think you're not riding for this game this week, so you can make a pick, Brady. Who is your pick?
I was a part of those two of the 3 Richlands victories in this series, and it was always a very fun game to play, whether you were at Bullet Park, whether you were at Ernie Hicks. I believe one of the toughest losses I ever took that wasn't a blowout was when Brandon Hubbard intercepted River Michaels and ran it down the sideline in 2013 to win as the clock expired. And what I'll say is the biggest win in Union High School history. It definitely was at the time. I don't know if it still would be considered so, but it definitely was at the time. And then since then, I've been away to school and nothing really changed. A lot of 1-point victories. Richlands gives Union a scare, and then James Mitchell does what he does against the Blues last year in the playoff game, and he very well might be in on a goal line package on Monday night in Tallahassee. So that just speaks to what he can do. But I think that Union was hit hard by graduation. I think Jenkins is a very good tailback. It's good to see Bailey Turner back on the field. But, you know, I think Rich Lands has got it figured out. Racing Warrior looked well against Gate City. Take that for what it's worth against the Blue Devils, who were struggling. But I think the home field advantage gives the Blues the edge here. Richlands wins this one by less than 7 points, and it'll be a packed house at Ernie Hicks Stadium. I will not be there. I'll be first game in the Appy League playoffs. Everybody enjoy the game on Friday.
I'm also going to take Richlands. I have struggled back and forth all week with what I was going to do with this game. I don't feel good about it. In any way, shape, or form, one way or the other. Had I picked Union, I still wouldn't feel good about it. I think these teams are going to be very much even. This is strength against weakness on both sides. Richlands is going to line them up 4 wide, 5 wide. They're going to spread the field, and they're going to attack downfield against the Union secondary that has been weak so far this season. As far as, you know, it's their weakest link so far. Rich Lance is not going to run, and Union likes to stop the run. So you're going to see all the yards this Friday night on through the air for Rich Lance, with just enough runs to keep them honest. On the other side, I fully expect Union to go to the tee, which is, we've seen Coach Turner do this time and time again against Rich Lance. It shortens the game. It keeps the ball out of Rich Lance's hands. Rich Lance cannot score when River Michaels is on the sidelines.
River Michaels is there.
River Michaels. Race Moyer. They have the same initials. Race Moyer is on the sidelines. River is definitely on the sidelines. So I just feel like for Union, they're going to be able to get some yards on the ground. They're going to be able to turn the clock a little bit, shorten the game. Richland's best bet in this game, I think, is to try to get a lead early. You know, if they can get a score and then get a stop of some sort and go down to score again, if you take a 2-touchdown lead against this Union team, this might be the one where where Union's not built to come back as quickly as they have been in the past. I still think it's going to be a close game. As I'm sitting here still waffling back and forth as to what I think is actually going to happen. But in the end, I'm going to take Richlands by 3. I think the kicking game is the X factor, and I think Levi Forrest is the best kicker in this area. Maybe one of the top kickers in the state when his career is over in Richlands. Give me the Blues by 3.
Nice.
Could you imagine if Levi hit like a game-winning 57-yarder or something? That would just send this rivalry to even bigger heights than what it already is.
You know, I talked to him yesterday, and I was said, you know, it'd be kind of funny that if you could break the school record for a kick, longest field goal, just considering that, although it wasn't the game with Union that it happened, but, you know, Reese defeated Union with a field goal and then went on to set the record. So I thought that would be kind of cool, but that's just not saying that is or going to happen, but saying that being a possibility would be pretty cool.
I agree. I think that does it for us this week. It's going to be a pretty long podcast, I think. It's going to be a fun week. It sucks for Brady that he's not going to be able to watch any football this week as the Blue Jays are winding down their season. Anything you want to plug before we get out of here?
Yeah, Princeton and Bluefield in baseball Friday and Saturday, maybe on Sunday. Should be a lot of fun. Both teams looking to go to the Appy League Championship. Princeton's not won the league since 94. Bluefield's not won it since 01, so should be a lot of fun. But college football's back. The Hokies Monday night, really looking forward to it. Looking forward to being in front of a TV. Looking forward to grilling out all day long on Monday and hanging out, watching the game. It's going to be a lot of fun. A toss-up there in Tallahassee. Hokies are 7-point dogs. I hope we get the win. I'm really looking forward to it. It's going to be weird not being in Blacksburg for football season.
I absolutely agree. It's going to feel really weird watching that game from my couch instead of watching it either. I used to watch road games with Jordan, and obviously we were up in the box for – I was up in the box for home game. So that'll do it for us this week. We'll be back on Monday with your recap of everything that happens this weekend. We'll give you our new players of the week and all that sort of stuff, let you guys vote on that. Follow us on all of our social media, Coalfield Sports for everything. or at SWA Sports Podcast on Twitter as well. I'm at Ryan4VT. Brady is at JBHess66. I think that covers all the pleasantries and all that sort of stuff. Like, rate, review, comment, subscribe. Boom. So, for Brady Hess, I'm Ryan Dye. Do it, Brady.
See ya.
She took my name. Oh, mama swore she never saw her. 'Cause she was born a thief. She stole. Her daddy was a devil and he tried to leave his mark. Her mama said, boy, run as fast as you can. 'Cause she was born a thief, now she's making me a wanted man.